Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That was a wonderful word of exhortation that Brother Burr brought us, showing us that Jesus is the perfect example of which we must also be. The purpose of God that He revealed in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, where He said, "Let us make man after our image and after our likeness." And we know that we are made in the image of God. We have the ability to think, to see, to hear, to smell. Even though God is a spirit, He has these attributes that we have also. And now He wants us to come in to His likeness. Amen. That we would be like Him. If you're going to be a son, you are expected to be like your father. Amen. I'm sure you would like your son to be like the father. But we're talking spiritual talk here now. Amen. Well, we are preaching sonship. Amen. Some people find that offensive. Some people don't like that idea of being a son of God. Some people would rather remain children. And many of the church systems are supporting the keeping of the sheep as children. But God is asking us to rise up. There are going to be those who are known as the sons of God in the last days. So we are also preaching an end time message. Okay? We are preaching that there is an urgency of the time and the hour in which we are living. We are seeing the signs. Yes, we have seen signs for many, many years. But the signs are becoming more and more intense as we go on. The move of the Antichrist spirit of Islam is not becoming weaker. It is becoming stronger. And I suppose the people that lived in the, what was it, the 1100s or 1200s, in those years when this Islam was moving all across the Mediterranean, began to move up into Spain and began to have its move in Europe. But there was a point of time when this thing was stopped and it went no further. And brethren, I believe that God is going to raise up a people in this day that are going to stop these spirits, that are going to put an end to this thing, because God is going to give us a certain realm of power and authority such as He has not ever given to a body of believers before. Now, not every man is going to be a partaker of this. You know that there's going to be a separation among the house of God. And we can see signs of that separation taking place even now. The Word of God is very clear that Jesus spoke that there would come into the holy place. All right, if you're familiar with the tabernacle, you know there's an outer court, there's a holy place, and there's a most holy place. And brethren, there is an outer court church, okay? There is a church that believes in the shedding of the blood, which was the brazen laver or brazen altar. They believe in baptism, which is a picture of the brazen laver. But there is much evangelical church that does not want to go beyond that point. They do not want to walk in the Spirit. They do not want to live in the Spirit. They want to live in the outer court. And we know from the Word of God, chapter 11 of Revelation, where He said, the angel said to John, "Take a reed and measure the altar," which would be the golden altar, "and them that worship in the holy place." In other words, this holy place church, amen, we don't have a Holy of Holies church yet. Nobody lives in the Holy of Holies. But it is God's plan that man will walk as Jesus walked. Amen? That Jesus walked in a relationship with the Father as if he were standing before the mercy seat at all times. He said, I don't say anything except I hear it from the Father. I don't do anything except I see the Father do it. Now, I don't believe that we're walking in that place yet. We're doing a lot of things that we haven't seen the Father do. We are saying things that we have not heard. So we need to be very careful that we walk by the Spirit, because it is the sons of God who are led by the Spirit. That's the definition of the sons of God, those who are led by the Spirit. But even the Holy Place Church, Jesus said very clearly, when you see the abomination of desolation, stand in the holy place where he ought not be. Let the reader understand. Then we are to flee to higher ground. You say, well, I'm not living in Jerusalem. I'm not living in Judea. It's spiritual language, brethren. It's spiritual language. It means you are to come up higher. Now, I know that you can say to me, and I'll say to you, but Brother Mark, I can't make myself come higher. I've tried to come higher. I want to come higher. I'm crying to God to come higher. Well, I am too. I'm with you. But you know what? If you want to come higher, if you really, truly want to come higher with all your heart, God will find a way to help you come higher. You know, I remember a story. You say, well, that's a very carnal story, but I'm going to tell it anyway, because there's a lesson in this story. There was a young boy one time. I'll say he was, 9, 10, 11 years old. And he had great admiration for a very rich man. I'm told that this story happened, that it was a real story. He followed this rich man around. He became his friend. And he said, sir, I want to be like you when I grow up. How? Well, I want to be rich like you. I want to have many, many things that you have. I want to live in a house like you have. I want to have a car like you have. I want to be like you. And he went after this old man, this older rich man. Day after day, he kept telling him, how can I be like you? Well, one day they were down on the beach. And the young boy said to the old man, I want to be like you. Tell me how. So the old man, the rich old man said, okay, come with me. So he took the boy out into the water, and he took the boy and he put him under the water. And he held him there. And the boy kicked and struggled and thrashed about until he thought he was going to die. And finally the old man brought him up out of the water. And the boy, why did you do that? And he said to him, if you want to be rich as badly as you wanted air, then that's what you will have. So I'm going to translate that and say, if you want the kingdom of God as badly as you need air, how badly do you want it? Are we that desperate yet? I'm telling you, brethren, I believe there's coming a time of desperation. There's coming a time when you are going to need. Jesus said there's coming a day when you will desire one of the days of the Son of Man and you will not find it. But you're going to have to find it in a spiritual way. Now let me read some verses to you from 2 Peter. This was all just introduction. This is the time that we are living in. Are you keeping track of any of the news? I don't know. Maybe you don't have television. Are you reading it in the newspaper? Are you reading what's happening in Iraq? What's it called? ISIS? There is a contingent of all these rabid Muslims that want to set up a total Islamic caliphate, and they are taking over parts of Iran or Iraq and part of Syria, and they are growing, and it seems that every attempt to drive them back is not succeeding. We have the seeds of a great war in the world. I'm not saying that God will allow it, but if it's time, God is going to open His hand and He's going to allow it to happen. The Word of God says there comes a time when He is going to release the angels that are bound at the river Euphrates. And the river Euphrates, brethren, is the seat of Islam. That's the only thing I can understand. Something is going to be released or is being released. Maybe as we speak. And I believe the word that Brother Bert gave here this morning is you who live here in the Philippines, and it applies to we who live in America, but in particular I'm speaking to you here, you are going to have to find that God is your means of support. The destruction of Babylon, the destruction of the economy, includes the destruction of the United States of America. We don't want to see it happen. You don't want to see it happen in the Philippines. But the Word of God is very clear. There is coming a day of tribulation that will affect the whole world such as never has happened ever before. Now, did any of you live in World War II? Do any of you have a memory of World War II? No, you're too young. You can't remember. I could say, did any of you remember the Japanese occupation of Philippines? You're too young. You can't remember. But if your grandparents could tell you, it was a terrible time. The things that happened in World War II, happened in Germany, happened in Russia. Tens of thousands of people put in prison, put in concentration camps, killed, slaughtered. But now, brethren, the whole world is going to taste of something that is even worse than that. Now, Peter, if you open your Bible to 2 Peter, Peter had a vision of last days. Amen? Peter had an end time vision. And he says that in verse in chapter 3, verse 3, he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Last days, scoffers. Are we in agreement that we are in last days? Amen. Do I hear amen?
Amen?
Yes, we are in last days. That means that the Word of God is alive and effective for the day and hour in which we live now. So there are scoffers, and what are the scoffers saying? They are saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So the scoffer is not able to see that something is happening in the world. The scoffer says everything is going on the way it always has. It's just another cycle. It's just another cycle of the economy. It's just another political cycle. The pendulum swings to the right, it swings to the left, it swings to the right, it swings to the left. Nothing is changing. But those who are spiritual are discerning that something is changing. Amen? For this, they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. So Peter is calling to remembrance the days when the flood destroyed the earth. And Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, he says to those people, Jesus said they knew not. They knew not until the day that the flood came and took them away. Amen? So, are you in agreement with me that they knew not? Why did they not know? Was it because they were not told? They were told, right? Do you believe that Noah told them that a flood was coming? Do you believe the building of the ark was a testimony of what was coming? But Peter says of this, they are willingly ignorant. So in other words, they saw the ark, they heard the preaching of Noah, they probably saw the preparation for animals to come, and yet they chose to believe that life would go on and continue as it had been all along. Now, brethren, this is a warning that we need to bring to the world. We need to bring this warning to the church, because the word that the doctrine that the church has been bringing to its people is a word to tell the people, don't be afraid, everything will be okay. One glad morning, you're all going to fly away. And you will face no trouble, you will face no tribulation. And I'm wondering, well, why did Jesus go to all the trouble to tell us about it if it doesn't apply to us? I remember very clearly when I was quite young, the first time I ever heard that doctrine. I never heard it when I was young. I mean real young. And I grew up in a church that preached the gospel. But they didn't preach that. And I heard this belief that they were all going to fly away. And I'm wondering, well, why? And so I remember this young woman telling me about it. I think she was Baptist or something. And they always finished their talk by saying, but we don't need to worry about that. I said, but why? Because we won't be here. Amen? One day, I mean, I was okay with that. I was only 20 years old. I said, well, I don't care. Whatever they want to do. And it didn't bother me. I didn't think, well, what's right and what's wrong. It didn't bother me at all. Well, when I got a little older, in my late 30s, and I began to question some of the things that I heard, and I was reading the Word of God. I'll get back to Peter here. I was reading the Word of God, and in Matthew 24, and where Jesus said, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So, well, somebody's going to be here called elect during these terrible times. Somebody called elect. So I went to an old brother preacher. Remember now, I'm about 38 years old, and this old brother preacher, he was a good man, Assembly of God preacher. He was a lovely old man. He just loved the flock of God, you know. And he was about 63 years old. I'm older than that now. But I thought he was like a father. So I went to Brother and I said, Brother Chamberlain, can I ask you a question? And he looked at me and he was so gentle, so kind. He says, why, yes, Brother Mark. You can ask me a question. I said, Brother Chamberlain, who are the elect? And his face turned red. His countenance got angry. And he spit the words at me. He says, well, the Jews, of course. And his answer to me stung me so hard that I got the message. Don't ever ask that question. Now, then I went a whole year A whole year, I would not touch that question because I was afraid. And one day I went before the Lord. I said, Lord, man will not give me the answer. And the second thing I thought was, why did they get so angry at that question? If you can defend the Word, there's no need to get angry. You can ask me any question you want about the Word of God. I will not get angry at you. If I don't know the answer, I'll say I don't know. If I can't defend what I'm telling you, then I'm in trouble. So if you can produce the Word of God to show me where I'm wrong, I'll hear you. But I won't have to get angry to prove my point. So I began wondering about these things. And one day I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, and now this is when God began to call me to be a teacher of the Word. And I said, Lord, how can I be a teacher of the Word if I don't understand what's in the Word? No man will tell me what this means. I have to know. I have to be able to defend what I believe and preach it exactly what you said. I said, Lord, who are the elect? And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, why don't you look it up? I said, what do you mean? Look it up. Did you know you can look things up in the Word and get the answer? Did you know that? Did you know that the Word of God answers every question? I said, what do you mean, Lord? Look it up. He said, well, you have a concordance, don't you? I said, well, yes. What a good idea. Why don't I look it up? So you know what I did? I went to the New Testament and I looked up every word that said elect. Guess who they are? They're not the Jews, of course. They're the blood-bought saints of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, whether Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female. It is those who have accepted Jesus Christ. I said, okay, I have my answer. Now I can go from there and I can build a defense of what I believe. Everything else has to line up with everything else. The Word of God has to perfectly fit itself. If there's something that doesn't fit, there's something wrong with it. And you need to keep working on it until it perfectly fits in your understanding. Because God made no mistakes. There are no mistakes. God does not make mistakes. Amen? So, we're getting back to Peter, the end times. Amen? That they are willingly ignorant. Today, there is much willing ignorance of what God is saying. Now, I was telling you, it's not just the world, but it's also the believers. You know, the world does not like what's in the Bible. Did you know that? I saw where a major news magazine in America featured one whole page where they were interviewing a famous homosexual. I never heard of the guy. But they said he's a famous, outspoken homosexual. Why would they even feature him in the magazine? So I thought, well, what are these people going to say? And the interviewer said to the man one time, do you still tear that page out of the Bible from the book of Leviticus that says that it is an abomination for mankind to lie with mankind as with womankind? He says, yes, I tear it out of every Gideon Bible. Now, this is an example of being willingly ignorant. In other words, they know it's there, they know what God says, but they're saying, nah, 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 I don't have to obey that. So they believe that they can get away with it. And this is deception. And this is the same kind of deception that Brother Bert was talking about, of these famous big-name evangelists, television evangelists, that are living in sin, they are deceived to believe that they can get away with sin, and they will not pay the price. Amen? So, Peter's talking about willing ignorance. Amen? Now, he says that the heavens and the earth, verse 7, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So Peter is saying, in like manner, as God judged the world by water, there is coming a judgment of fire. Now, how are you going to read this passage? Are you going to put on your spiritual understanding here? And are we going to determine whether this is natural fire or whether this is spiritual fire? Where are you going to go with this? You see, you don't answer me. I'm just asking a rhetorical question here. So you think, okay? Because in the passage, it's going to give you the answer. Now, when Jesus said, how did he say it? I have a baptism. How does the word go? I have a baptism to be baptized. Wherein? Yeah. Would you look it up? Basically, what Jesus is saying is, John the Baptist said of Jesus, he will baptize you with what? I'm baptizing you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. All right? Now, Jesus at one point said, I have a baptism to give you. And he was talking about a baptism of fire. And he said, I am did you find the verse?
Luke 12:15.
Let's go to Luke 12:15. 12:50. Luke 12:50. Yes, here it is. Here it is. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? All right, so Jesus is saying he's coming with fire. Now, do you think he wants to start some forest fires? Is that what he wanted to do? Start some grass fires and burn the forest? Now the next verse says, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two and two against three. And he goes to talk about the father, the mother, the children in the family, in the house. He says, I am coming with a sword. And he likens this to a baptism. He likens it to a fire that he wants to kindle on the earth. Tell me again, what kind of fire is he interested in sending? All right, he's going to send some fiery trials, isn't he? And what are the fiery trials? They're more precious to him than gold. Why is he sending? Why is he talking about fire? He wants to purify the gold. Gold in you means the nature of Christ. How many of you have the nature of Christ in you? How many of you are 100% the nature of Christ? No. No, you want to be. You want to be, but there's something else there too. And that, have you noticed that when you get into trouble, that other thing rises up and you find, oh, I didn't know I had that in me. I didn't know I had that love of money. I didn't know I had that greed. I didn't know I had that anger in me. And so he's burning it off. Now, let's go a little deeper into this. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. What's that mean? I'm reading from Peter. Oh, I'm back in Peter. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm back in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8. One day of the verse 8. One day is as 1,000 years. Now that says several things. First of all, it says that God does not mark time the way you do. Suppose God said to you, could you endure with me for 1 hour? Could you watch with me for 1 hour? Would you say, okay, till 3 o'clock? Did he really mean 1 hour? He meant for a season of time. What do you think the Lord means when he says the day of the Lord? Is he talking about 24-hour day? The day of the Lord begins at 6 o'clock at night and goes till the next day? 24 hours? No, he's talking about a season of time. And what Peter is saying here is that a day of the Lord, one day with the Lord, is as 1,000 years. So in other words, God's clock and my clock are not always the same thing. But there's something else that God is saying. Remember, he created the world in how many days? He worked how many days?
6 days.
And what did he do the seventh day? He rested. Okay. So how many years has it been since the creation of Adam?
6,000.
How do you get that number? Because it was 4 days until the coming of Jesus. Amen. You look at the time chart that the man made. He has the creation of Adam, 4004 BC. He has the birth of Jesus, 4 BC. You see, the priest was wrong that made the calendar. He was 4 years off. But they fixed it. They corrected it. All right. Now, how many years have we been since the birth of Christ? So, have we finished the 6 years? The 6,000? The 6 days? The six days is past. We should be coming now into the seventh day, which is the day of rest. And what does the Bible tell us about this seventh day of rest? The 7,000 years. It's what? All right. It is the millennium. We call it the millennium. The word millennium is actually not in the Bible. It talks about 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, Satan will be bound, right? Amen. And righteousness will reign in all the earth. So something is going to have to happen between now and then. All right? I believe, brethren, that we have crossed over into the seventh day. I believe we've crossed over. but you say near it. So why can I say that I believe we've crossed over? No, I didn't say that we are near. We are near to being able to see it, to see the manifestation of it. Now you go back and see, and I'm not going to just focus on this, but you go back and see in the time of creation that the day began with the setting of the sun. Am I right? And the evening and the morning were the third day, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day, and the evening, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So the day of the sixth day, six is the number of man, right? Man was created on the sixth day, so the number six, spiritually, means the number of man. Okay, so six is the number of man. Man has now had 6,000 years to try to get things right in this world. How well has he been doing? How well is man doing? Not very good. We've made an awful mess of this world. The political entities of this world, the economic, the poverty, the suffering, the tribulation, you know, the brutality of man to man. Man has not done well in 6 days. So God is going to take it over. However, on the sixth day of man's creation, he created first the beasts, right? And the last thing of the daylight that God created was Adam. So Adam is created. He's looking out, and the first thing that Adam sees is the sun is going down. And so Adam's first 12 hours were basically darkness. You say, but it's the seventh day. It had begun a new day. But all Adam saw was darkness. And I'm not saying we're going to have 50-50. But what I'm saying is that the thing had not yet been manifest. The day of the seventh day, the day of rest, Adam didn't see it right away. So there's going to be a season of time before we are going to see the manifestation of the kingdom of God on this earth. Now, there's some things that are going to have to happen first. Okay? Let's go down a little bit here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, why has the Lord been delaying? Why has the bridegroom been so slow in coming back? Because he's long-suffering. The Lord is waiting for the last man to make the final decision. The Lord is waiting for the fullness. Now remember, everything has a fullness. Remember that. Everything has a fullness. Light, righteousness has a fullness. Darkness, wickedness, the world has a fullness. Now, as you look out on the world, you can see that the unrighteousness of this world is coming to a fullness. Okay? Wickedness is getting stronger and stronger. These particular sins that men want to commit that are not recognized by the law, they are getting the strength now that the politicians will give them their laws so that they can legally practice their unrighteousness. It's all kinds of unrighteousness. It's homosexuality. It's drugs. It's marijuana. It's all these things that are becoming legalized now by the world system. So unrighteousness is coming to its fullness. The political corruption is coming to its fullness. You're going to see a world system. A world system run by one totally corrupt man with his allies. But the good news is that God is going to also raise up sons like him in the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
And the question is, do you want to be part of that party? And this is the price that you're going to have to pay to be like Christ. You're going to have to suffer with him. You're going to have to identify with him.
Amen.
Amen? You're going to have to, what was the term that was used this morning? You're going to have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Another verse that Brother Bert read was, "Shake off the dust, O Zion. Rise up, sit down, shake off the dust." What is dust? What does dust speak of? What was Adam made out of? Dust. Shake off your Adam. Shake off that old nature that you were born with. And take on now the nature of Jesus Christ. Now this is a challenge, brethren. And this is the word that we need to be preaching to the sheep, the people of God that he has put in your contact. Amen? That's given you some oversight. Hallelujah. So, but the day of the Lord. See, here's that term again. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Amen? Sometimes it refers to a 1,000-year period of time. Sometimes it refers to a shorter season of time. Amen? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, he's also making reference to something that is going to happen very suddenly and unexpectedly. Have any of you ever been encountered by a thief?
No.
Has anybody ever stolen anything from you?
Yeah.
Did they ever come into your house to get it? Sometimes. Did you know when the thief was coming?
No.
Did they send you a notice?
No.
Dear Brother Emmanuel,
yes.
This is to notify you that I will be coming to your house at 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. That's right. If you knew, you're going to have your brothers, your cousins, you're going to have security, you're going to have your neighbors. You're not going to allow this to come upon you unawares. But Jesus said, see, thieves don't send you that notice, do they? You don't know when they're coming. Amen? So Jesus said, you don't know when the day of the Lord is coming. But it's going to come as a thief in the night. Suddenly, there it is. It's going to come that fast. Listen more to Peter's description. Amen? In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Alright? Now, we need to understand again the spiritual language. If you want to say, on a natural understanding, well, that means that bombs are going to go off in every nation. It's going to be a nuclear holocaust. You know, fireballs and all the forests are going to be destroyed. And the whole earth is going to be nuclear ash. And it's going to be uninhabitable. No man will be able to live. It'll just be totally burned up. Do you believe that God is going to allow that to happen? No. 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 The Bible says very clearly, the earth remaineth forever. Abideth forever. So, yes, do you believe Satan would like to do that? Yes, of course he would. He would like to. But God is not going to allow it. And God is going to raise up a standard against him. What does it say in Isaiah? He says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. What chapter is that in Isaiah? 50, 53, somebody said? Is it 53? You'll find it. Anyway, God is going to stop it. Oh, there. Yes, there, we should look there. There's a good verse in there about the fire. Is that in, come my people, enter thou into thy chamber? Where's the one about as the firestorm against the wall? Well, here's another verse in Isaiah. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now, you see, if the whole earth were annihilated and everything in the earth burned up, how would any human being survive? But God said, for the elect's sake, amen, for the elect's sake, the days will be shortened.
Amen.
Okay, so back here to Peter again. And I'm asking you the question again, is Peter using spiritual language here? Or is he using natural language? And how can you tell that it's spiritual language? Give me one clue here. It's in verse 10. Give me one clue in verse 10 that this is spiritual language. It's in verse 10. All right, let me tell you where the clue is. It says, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Hello? How are you going to burn works? How are you going to burn works? I can make a pile of wood and burn them. I can make a pile of grass. How are we going to burn our works? All right, we're going to have a bonfire tonight. And everybody bring your sins and we're going to burn them up. We're going to burn up your lust. Put it on the fire. We're going to burn up your greed, your love of money. We're going to burn up
all the earthly things.
Your works. Not your things, but your works are going to be burned with fire. That is a spiritual description. It is not natural fire. You cannot pile up your works and put a match and burn them with a natural fire. So he's saying that the fiery trial that God is going to put on this earth is going to destroy the wickedness and the unrighteousness. But he also says that the heavens, what does it say here? The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. What does that mean? Are the stars going to all disappear? Now come on, we have to do spiritual language here.
Maybe you can use that in literal or figurative.
You can think it either way. I want to see the spiritual way. Okay? I want to see the spiritual. The heavens mean, heavens means the spiritual realm that is controlling this earth. Do you know that Satan is in the heavens, in the heavenly realm? Look in Revelation chapter 12. He says, I saw a woman clothed with the sun, 12 stars, paining to give birth, and the great red dragon at her feet, ready to devour her child. This was in heaven. Not the throne of God heaven, but a lower realm of heaven. And this is a description of a spiritual realm that is going to be destroyed. He says it's going to pass away with a loud crash. In other words, it's going to happen very suddenly. I know this is hard to comprehend. You have to hear this for days and days, maybe, to understand what I'm saying. Just lock it in, because Peter is saying, okay, he says here, the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements melt with a fervent heat. Can I stretch your mind a little bit more? Elements. Elements. Now, did you take chemistry?
Yes.
They had the chart of the elements, right?
Nickel, bronze,
copper, oxygen, helium. All of the, yeah. Is that the elements that God is talking about? Wait a minute now before you answer. See, here's where you need a concordance. If you don't have a concordance, buy one. No, I don't have a pile of concordances to give you. I'm not bringing a pile. No, if you want the pearl of great price, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to pay for it.
Sacrifice.
Do you own one, brother?
I am.
How did you get it? Well, then either the mercies of God or you're going to have to pay for it. Get a concordance. And by the way, if you have a computer, you can look these things up on a Bible program. These Bible programs are free, and you can find out the meaning of these words. So what I'm saying is, you want to know what God is saying, you need to look up some of these words. You need to look up the word elements. Does it mean copper, iron, zinc, oxygen, helium? Does it mean this? No. All right. I'm going to save you the time. Today you don't have to buy it. You can wait till next week to buy your concordance. You probably have to wait a lot longer. These bookstores don't have them. You're going to have to order it. All right. Here's what elements mean. You can write it down if you want. I'll give you the number. It is, the Greek word is stoichion. In the concordance, it's number 4747. It comes from the word stoichio, which is 4748. And here's the definition. It's a Greek word that's written here. And here's the definition in my tongue. All right? It means to conform to a line, as to keep rank or step. It compares this with a military march. Have you seen the military where they're keeping step? Hup, 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 hup. You know, they're all lined up in order. This is what he's talking about. Orderly in arrangement. Okay, now, it could define the chemistry chart of elements, but that isn't the main meaning of this word. Any order, rank and file, order, keeping step, keeping order, okay? A serial, a fundamental, elementary, rudimentary, basic things. So, how many of you believe that Satan has this world locked up in lockstep? Do you believe that you can change the politics, say, of the Philippines by getting all the Christians to vote? And you're going to change it from unrighteousness to righteousness? No. You know why not? Because Satan has got it locked up tight. when they run another candidate for president in America, we can say, oh, let's vote for this man. He's better than the other man. But you know what? He's going to be a disappointment too. Because he's also under the dominion, lockstep, march, march, march. They're under Satan's control. Now, this is what God is going to destroy. Okay? Because he says here that the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Now, this fervent heat is the the pressure that God is going to put on this system. God is going to bring it to an end. And he says it's going to melt. Now, he says it's going to be dissolved. Here again, in verse 11, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In other words, knowing that all this system, some of this system that you hold on to, some of this system that we love, knowing that this is all going to be dissolved, how should you live your life? Let me give you a definition of the word dissolved here, okay? It means, it includes to melt, to loosen. To loosen, amen? To break up, to destroy, to dissolve, to melt, to put off, to undo. So God is going to do with this world system is he's going to shake it, it's going to become loose, and it's going to dissolve. Just like that. Satan will not be able to hold on to it. Sometimes when we pray and you hear Brother Bert say, loose, loose, it's a command to the realm of Satan. Get your hand off this thing. Open your hand. Loosen this thing. Loosen the hold on this man's life. Loosen the bondage. Loosen the sickness. Loosen the poverty. And you can command that devil to loosen his hold. Now, you see, he's talking about the world systems here. The strongholds of darkness. He's talking about the heat and fire that God is going to bring. Let me just take you one more step here, and I want to show you that the religious systems of this world are going to go through the same process. I won't be much longer, but let me just take you to a few verses in Revelation 18. He's talking about Babylon. Amen? Now, how many of you know that Babylon has many aspects? Babylon includes the world systems. Babylon includes the politics. Babylon includes the economic system. But mainly, Babylon is a religious system. Now, what is your description of Babylon? The dominion of the Antichrist, all right? What church is that found in? Where? Well, of course. She's the mother of harlots. Now, in order to qualify as a mother, what does that mean? Children. And since we're talking about church, woman. Woman. The word woman refers to church. Harlot, woman. Harlot means what? She has many lovers. She is not faithful to one man.
It is a mother church.
She's a mother. But
if it's a mother church,
if that mother is your mother,
we call that, I belong in a big religion, and we call that is our mother church, and we belong in that church.
Brother, that system's in trouble. Alright, well let me just read what the Word of God says about that mother. Alright? It says, and he cried with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. The woman. Then he says here in verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. Come out of her. Her means what? Her means church. Come out of her. Get away from that mother harlot. Get as far away as you can. Disclaim every claim of her being a mother. She's not my mother. Her servants are not my father. Amen. All right, now, I just want to read a couple of verses here. Look at verse 9. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. This is not natural smoke. The kings of the earth, the politicians, have been in bed with this harlot system. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Don't have anything to do with her. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Now, 1 hour is certainly a lot shorter time than one day, isn't it? When he says it's coming with a loud crash, that sounds pretty fast, doesn't it? Suddenly. The word suddenly here. Go over in the same chapter now to verse 17. For in 1 hour, amen, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. Amen. Verse 18. And they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like this great city? So we're talking about an economic collapse as well. Just a couple more verses here in Revelation. Verse 3. And again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. So the false systems of religion are also going to be destroyed along with the kingdoms of the Gentiles. And the Word of God says that the age of the Gentiles is coming to an end. Now that doesn't mean that Jews, it's going to become Jewish, Hebrew. That isn't what it means. Gentile is another spiritual word, and it means those who follow the world. It's those who follow the world. If you follow the world, you're a Gentile. If you follow after Christ, you're among the seed of Abraham. You don't have to be natural Hebrew, Jew, or anything else. So we're just trying to give you an understanding here of spiritual terms. So when you read the Bible, you have to understand the Bible is a spiritual book. And if you try to understand it in natural terms, you're not going to know what God is saying. And in order to have the spiritual understanding, you're going to have to press in to God. It's not something that comes quickly. It's something you have to pay for. Remember the wise virgins. When the foolish ones came and said, we want oil. And they said, We had to buy the oil. We had to pay for it. And you're going to have to pay for it too. If you want spiritual understanding, you'll have to pay for it. Amen. It's going to cost you something. If you don't want it, you can just linger down on the lower level. But when you see the abomination of desolation, where are you going to flee if you have no place to flee? If you're not used to thinking that you're going to be fleeing into the Holy of Holies, you'll probably end up going back into the outer court, and it's going to be destroyed. Now, I know I can't tell you everything in 1 hour, but just a little start to get you thinking. Brethren, I've been studying this for years and years. I can defend everything that I say. The Word of God is 100% correct.
Amen.
And I'll give you God's blessing right now. Amen. Lord be with you.